Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen. This is Dr. Apostle Deborah Deans, Apostle Dr. Deborah Deans, and the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries and the Life Support Outreach Church. And I just bring you greetings tonight from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I just thank and praise God again for allowing me to be on this radio broadcast. We're going to get ready to open up our Bible study tonight. We're going to have a quick song, read a scripture and pray, and we're going to get right into our word. Amen.
We know that you are born with the purpose. For the enemy will tell you that you are a blessing. We know you're the children of the covenant. So we try to show you the opposite. And you feel it, baby, that you're anointing. But you gotta proclaim the devil can't hold me, cause I'm on the rise. I'm on the rise. I'm on the rise. The enemy will try to come against it. He knows you are the chosen generation. So the enemy will say you're frustrated. He knows that you're walking in healing. While the pain that you've been feeling, the beauty about to come from all labor. Oh, I'm on the rise.
Amen, amen. We ain't gonna give him no play tonight. I'm going to be reading from Psalms 139. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off, and my lying down art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it all together. Thou hast beset me behind, before, and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utter part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. I have just read you from Psalms 139, from the first verse to the 10th verse. May God bless the doer of his most holy word. Father, we come on this evening asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin that we've committed against you, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we repent and we confess and repent right now, and we ask your forgiveness and cleansing through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on tonight. Father, we ask you now to bind up the strong man from our radio broadcast on tonight. Bind up the enemy tonight, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask you to let Deborah decrease, that the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, will increase and minister to your people on tonight. Father, we give you praise and glory in the name of Jesus, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. Amen. I just thank and praise God on tonight for everything that he's done and that he's doing. We're going to be discussing, and we will be reading from Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. We're going to start with the 8th verse. And we're going to go down their verse, or maybe even the 24th verse. But I just want to read it for you on tonight. He says, "Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place, that there may be place alone in the midst of the earth. In my ear said the Lord of hosts, of a truth, many houses shall be desolated, even great and far, fair, without inhabitants. Yea, 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath, and the seed of an homer shall yield an imp. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, and that continue until night, till wine inflame them, and the harp, and the vial, and the tabret, and the pipe, and wine are in their feast. But they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operations of his hand. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity, I'm sorry, because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. And their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoices shall descend into it, and the mean men shall be brought down, and the mighty men shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. Then shall the lamb feed after their manner, and the waste place of that fat one shall strangers eat. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin as it were with a cart rope, that say, let him make speed and haste to his work, that we may see it, and let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come, that we may know it. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes, prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteousness from him. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust. But they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. I have just read you from the 8th verse, the 5th chapter, the 8th verse of Isaiah down to the 24th. And we're going to start with the first woe. But this Isaiah chapter 5 is the parable of the vineyard. And it's like an indictment against Israel. God is inviting us to court so we can hear this thing, you see. So it's just like we sitting in court today, and we're gonna go after this and see what it says, because a lot of it reminds me of what's going on today. So in it says you don't have to even guess who the prophet is talking about. The vineyards refers to the whole house of Israel, and their verse clear. And in that vineyard, God looked for judgment. This is judgment right here. But behold, oppression for righteousness, but behold, a cry. So they crying out for help. a crying out. So once again, God is going to spell it out, all out. Six woes are mentioned here, and each one tells of a certain sin for which God is judging Israel. If you want to apply these things after we get through, and we should all apply them to our lives and to our nation, we can do that. But the interpretation is for Israel. It has already been fulfilled for them, and we can certainly make application to our own hearts and lives. How, you know, this is what we should be doing. Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. Isaiah, that's the 8th verse. Now, this is the first sin of Israel. This sin is the lust of the eye, and sometimes we all have that. More specifically, it is covetousness. In Colossians chapter 3, I think it is, verse 5 tells us, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, affectionate, evil, covetousness, idolatry. Covetousness is idolatry. It is a big business expanding at the expense of the little man. That is what happened in Israel. The little man was squeezed out. It was done so that great fortunes might be accumulated. The only excuse for such expansion is the greed for more property, more and more possession. God will judge the people for that. It's so many of us do that today. So many of us walk right across somebody to get to something else bigger. We got that stuff bad. I mean, we'll do it. We'll get rich on somebody else. You know, we don't have to work for this stuff. We'll use somebody else to a stepping stone to get where we want to be. But see, we all going to be judged for that, because this stuff is happening still today. God will judge us, and it's so sad. It's sad because that's what we'll do. Some of us, nobody, of course, that's on this radio broadcast, but some of us, the picture is one of the greatest complex of forms. In Isaiah's day, the people were built big corporations, big complexes, like they doing now, like they were doing. This was not done for the good of the poor people, the little people, the small operator. It was done to accumulate wealth. And you know what? God would give us prosperity. I believe God wants us to have prosperity. I believe God wants us to be wealthy, but in the right way. God does not want us walking over somebody or going tell the boss on somebody to get another higher position. That's not God's way. That's not God's way. He wants us to be in good health as our soul prospers. It's sad. Many people today are worshiping at the altar of covetousness. Covetousness is a mean-looking God, because that's what it is. It's a God because it does things just the wrong way. It has the face of a silver dollar or a dollar bill. It is one thing that brought down Israel for which God judged them. Instead of following God's instruction, they were beginning to take all of the riches from the soil. We are doing the same thing today. We are living in a world which is actually depleted of energy, of its energy, for all kind of stuff. I mean, right today we're looking for face masks and those things you put over your face and stuff. All kind of stuff. We going in the stores, nothing is on the shelves, hardly, because that's what we're doing. We're trying to survive, and all we need to do is call on God. He's our provider. He's our source and our resource. We don't need all that other stuff. I'm telling you, we got to know. And at this time, you know, in this day and age right here, people think, God, you know, we stand in the house and stuff. It's a reason for us standing in the house. We're not standing in the house just to rest all the time. We stand in the house so we can get closer to God. God's trying to talk to us while we're sitting there. We ain't got an open ear. We don't have an open mind, an open heart, or nothing. But this is the time. I'm telling you, if nobody else has, this is the time for you to get yourself in order with God, because something coming next. I don't know what it is. He hasn't told me yet, but I still hearing him say prepare. So I'm preparing myself for whatever it is, because I'm going to stay in his face. Have a relationship with God. I don't care what it is. Ask, repent. Don't say you don't sin, because we all do and fall short of the glory of God. But repent and go before God. Go search for him. He wants us to look for him, search for him while he may be found. Call up on him while he's near. We got to do this so God can see your heart. And don't do it for no other purpose but to please God. God is a jealous God. All these things coming before him, he's a jealous God. I'm telling you. In my ears, said the Lord of hosts, of a truth, many houses shall be desolated, even great and fair, without inhabitants. Yea, 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath, and the seed of an omer shall yield the imp. See, God gonna run it just like he's doing now. All these churches is desolate. Ain't nobody in them. Nobody. We building all these big edifices, and right now ain't nobody in all these big Catholic churches. They empty. All of them. The Pope crying. Everybody. Because God is still in control. He is the king above every king. So whatever they saying don't mean nothing, because he'll stop it all. All of them things, all those houses, from church to church, that's what he's talking about. From place to place, from church to church, he call them houses. All of these houses shall be desolate. All of them shall be desolate. I'm telling you, they're going to be empty. God is simply saying that even though they expand their land, the yield would not be great, because there would be a famine which would decimate the crops. Extend the holding will not produce bumper crop at all. The earth you and I are living on is running short of energy. We're running out of soil. We are running out of land. This subject of ecology is an important matter. Pollution is destroying much of the earth. One of these days, we're all going to be on a desolate planet. We're quickly running out of energy. And if you're planning on taking a trip, you had better do it now. And you can't do it now. But, hey, you can get yourself prepared for it. I know. And I don't know what other prophet know, but I know that after a while, that gas prices going to go up. I do know that. They're going to go up to where we can't hardly afford them. So if you're talking about taking a trip, driving, or going on the train or the plane, them tickets going to be high as hell. That's what I'm trying to say. That is exactly what I'm trying to say. So we got to, I'm telling you, if you pray, you have a relationship with God, you communicate with the Holy Ghost all the time, you'll hear what he's saying. He ain't going to do nothing until he tell his prophets. And if you have an ear to hear, hear God. That's all I'm trying to say. Hear him. It says, woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink that continue until night, till wine inflame them, and the harp and the vial and the tabret and the pipe and the wine are in their feast. But they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operations of his hand. And we have a lot of that. We have a lot of that. people, and I'm telling you, I'm praying for the people that don't know God. And God, they married to the backslider. Jesus married to the backslider. But I'm telling you, I'm praying for them because time winding up. God used to wink at man's ignorance. He don't do that anymore. God give us chance after chance after chance, but the time is winding up. Believe me, the sun's going to go down after a while. And if you're not ready, you just miss it. You're not ready. But this is a time to get ready. God is giving us a time to go before him, go down in prayer. I mean, you ain't got to be all day in prayer, but you need to keep a relationship with God. I ain't talking about when you get on Facebook talking about this, this, and this, and this. I ain't talking about when you get on Instagram and all that. Jesus ain't on there. He can be, but he not. He got another social media, and we got to get to that social media so we can socialize with the Father in our prayer closet. Ain't nobody got to know but you and him. This is what I'm saying. We got to spend more time with God, more time with the Lord. Now, we know he's talking about an alcoholic up in here, getting up first thing in the morning, going to follow some strong drink, then continue until it gets dark, until the wine inflame them. That's an alcoholic to me because they get up looking for something to drink. They don't shake till they get them a drink. But, hey, that's not what God wants. That's the second woe. The second sin, drunkenness, pleasure on a national scale, are the sins mentioned here, and they lead to the weakening of all spiritual perception. It weakens you. Oh, we go out to lunch and we have I want a white wine and all that. I don't want damn wine. Don't give me not one. I don't want no kind of alcohol unless it is something that the doctor giving me. And that won't be too much. We can't have our spirit contaminated with strong drink because God won't hear us. He will not hear us. You don't know who talking to you, the Lord or the devil. Because your mind all bogged up and clogged up. Discombobulated. What you gonna know? All the devil gotta do is whisper something that sound good, and you bumping and grinding and everything else. That's not God. All that media news stuff about alcohol and how wine is soothing and it helps your heart and all that. We've got a whole lot of alcoholics. Sometimes I watch that movie, and any movie you watch, a Blue Blood, and every day they eat. It's every day they drink. That's letting the family think that you got to have a drink every time you eat. I had some alcohol when I eat, I'll probably be sick. God made wine. Yes, he did. He made those grapes and stuff. But let me tell you something, it ain't for strong drink. It ain't for us to get drunk on every day. I'm telling you, this day is he get up early in the morning and be followed by strong drink. When you get up early, you should be running to your prayer closet. Or you should, when you eyes open, you should be thanking God right there for waking you up. I can explain this thing. When I tell you, because I've been there. I've had people that I know close that get up early drinking and carrying on. God don't want that. I'm telling you right now, God is not pleased with that. And if you trying to get in the heart of God, if you need some help, you better go get to a treatment. But God can deliver you without going to a treatment. All you got to do is be willing. And the harp and the vow and the harp and the, I guess they dancing and feasting and having fun and drinking and partying and everything else. But they don't have no regard for the work of the Lord. Neither consider what he's doing, the operations of his hands. We got to give him kind of everything we do and say. Like a lot of the fathers and mothers, when they out to restaurants, they have the family out. The first thing, I want a glass of white wine. God don't care about no wine and looking good and all this kind of stuff, trying to act all this. That's not God. Mm-mm. That's not for us to do as believers, as a Jesus people. Because I don't know what else to say. As a person that believes in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, that's not for us to do. So we need to find another way for our children, because when we drinking wine, when they get up, they're going to want something stronger than wine and whiskey too. Rum and all that, they ain't going to want that. They're going to want something stronger than that. So we have to know, we have to live before our children like we want our children to live before us. If we can't do that, honey, let me tell you something. If you live any kind of way before your child, expect any kind of way your child going to live before you. So we got to do it. And everything we do and say, we're going to be judged for it. And don't think God ain't writing it down. He got a heavenly secretary. He writing that stuff down. It's being recorded. Every day of our life being recorded. Because we got to give him count. Somebody got to stand before God for what we do. And it can't nobody do it but us. So if I were you, hey, I can't say I haven't always been saved. I haven't always. I've been in church. I ain't been in church like this. But the more you learn, you ought to do better. If you learn better, do better. Ask God to forgive you and turn from whatever you're doing. Turn. Because I'm telling, I'm just, if I can plead with the whole earth to get on their face, pray, seek his face. Turn from our wicked ways so God can heal the land. God will heal the land. We gotta know what's best. We got to know the right thing. I'd rather be in trouble with man any day than to be in trouble with God. Verse 14 now. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. And their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoices shall descend into it. Now, the word hell in this verse is actually the grave. It's not a reference to the lake of fire as we think of hell today. It is the Hebrew word for Sheol. Sheol. It means that the grave demands you. You find the same word in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 16, that says, the grave and the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire that saith not, it is enough. Death or the grave, both satisfactory translation as Sheol. Sheol is never satisfied. This is the question to ask when you stand at the grave of someone. Where is he? Job asked this question. But man died and wasted away. Yeah, man giving up the ghost. And where is he? That is the question everybody is going to have to ask. Hell at first did not have the idea of locality. But in time, it was thought that since God was in heaven or above, hell or the grave must be below or down. In the New Testament, the word Hades is the same as the Old Testament, Sheol. The Lord Jesus used this word when he said, and thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell, Hades, in Matthew 11:23. I don't want none of it. I don't want to go to none of it. Not one of it, because I'm praying and I'm crying out to God. I'm trying to stay in his face. I know I done got older. It's fine. But, honey, young people go just like old people. And I've had all these years to learn. Now I'm trying to tell somebody else before they waste their years. like I did. I should have been running for God. I'm halfway in the middle, and God don't want no lukewarm people like I was with one foot in and one foot out. God gonna spew you out of his mouth. I had to come all the way in. I've been in ministry for 35 years, maybe 32 years. Yeah. Still had to come all the way in because some stuff I found out and did not know, I know now. So I stopped doing everything, all of it. But I still sin because I'm human. I'm human. You know, people don't know how easy it is to sin. You can think wrong. You can think negative about somebody. You can say, oh, she needs to turn that, put that thing down, or she thinks she's something because she got all that stuff. God don't want that stuff. That ain't nothing but a sinning because you got some negative thoughts in your mind and in your heart, and I don't want none of it. I'm telling you, if I can't say something good about you or think something good about you, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it at all because I know every action that I do is a reaction from God. So I want the best thing. If it's a good action, I want that good reaction. I don't want the bad reaction. You know, that just gives you a little idea about hell. And we all know that if we don't get right, we're going. But we don't have to. If I go to hell, it ain't nobody fault but man. Because he said, study to show yourself approved unto God. People perish for the lack of knowledge. We need to have that word open every chance we get. I know we have a life to live, but you have a life for God. You have a relationship with God. Let me go to this next woe. I'm trying to get these woes. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin as it were with a court rope. Slated as, woe to these who wickedness is helped by words of lying. And I hope that, but anyway, who in their pride and unbelief the wrath of God define. You can make a poem out of it. This is the third woe, or the third sin. This is the picture of nations giving itself abandonment to sin. Shame or conscience. See, God don't want nobody with no pride. Now, that's a worse sin. If you talk about sin, God ain't got time for nobody that's stuck up and all prideful and stuff like that, that they doing stuff on their own and all this stuff. And God is the one that's taking care of us all and doing everything for us. We think we doing something, we not. But if you got a prideful spirit, and if you don't humble yourself, God will humble you, and you don't want God to humble you. God will do it. He know how to humble us, baby. But if you got a prideful spirit, I'm a praying for you. Lord, have mercy on your soul. Okay, that say, let him make speed and hasten his work that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come that we may know it. In other words, they challenge God to do anything about their sins. It is interesting to note that no penalty is mentioned. The very silence here is penalty is too awful to mention. The history of deportation of the frightful judgment of God upon a people who sin with impurity against him and defy him, God would judge them. Because when them people came up against Moses, when they went up against Moses, God tried to tell Moses, Moses trying to tell God, please just wait a minute, just wait a minute. He opened up the ground and swallowed them. See, it's bad when you have to mess with or you're on the wrong side of an angry God. I'm telling you, God will allow these things to happen. He will allow them to happen. People don't think he will, but he will. And I'm a living witness. I've been whooped by God. Live long enough. constantly being whooped by God. It just wasn't good. And couldn't nobody help me. Every door that was closed, he closed it. And couldn't no man open it until he got ready for it to be open. We don't consider that a whooping, I do. And it wasn't fun. But we have to learn these things. Experience is the best teacher in the world. Sometimes it's good, and sometimes it's not so good. Okay, I just read 5 and 19 about that frightful judgment of when we come up against God, when people talking about, I'm mad at God, honey, I be cringing in my feet, in my seat. I be saying, how in the world can you say that? I don't care what he do. Like I was talking about Sunday, when God say no, when I was praying that he would save my mother because I wasn't ready yet, he said, no, not your will, but my will be done. I accepted it because I know he loved my mother way than, more than I could love. But when God say no, it's no. And we better just accept that and be happy. In Psalms 137, Israel prayed against Babylon. They prayed that there would be an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. They said, happy shall be that taketh and dasheth that little ones against the stone. This is horrible beyond words, but this is the judgment that came to Israel. God is a God of love, but when you reach the place where you defy him and turn your back on him, there is no hope at all, for judgment comes. And we have to realize that. We can't turn against God. No, no, no. We can't do that. Verse 20 says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. I don't know what sense that makes. You call evil good and good evil. You have to be evil to do that, to be living in darkness all the time, to think that's light. I don't understand. You have to be. I just don't understand how you can call good evil when you loving on somebody that's evil. You have to be evil to even think something like that. This is the fourth sin against the woe, and the woe is level. It's an attempt to destroy God's standard of righteousness or right and wrong by substituting man values, which contradict his moral standards. I mean, you don't have a value. You don't know right from wrong. You have God's love, and he knows right from wrong. He has blessed them in the past for their acknowledgement of him, but he will mess them up if they don't pay attention to what he's talking about, if they don't learn what he's talking about. You cannot call good evil and evil good. That's not God. That is not God. We know right from wrong. He give us five senses. We absolutely know right from wrong. Mm-hmm. Men, women, boys, and girls. We know right from wrong. God give us that instinct. He give us a conscience. We know when we doing wrong. Verse 21 says, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes, imputed in their own sight. That's that pride I'm talking about. This is the fifth woe and the sin of pride. God hates this above everything else. Proverbs 6:16-17 tells us, these six things doeth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lion's tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Pride was the sin of Satan, according to 1 Timothy 3:6. not a novice, least being lifted up with pride, he falls into the condemnation of the devil. Pride is the number one on God's hate list, on his hate hit list. It says, which justifies the wicked for reward and take away the righteous of the righteous, the righteousness of the righteous from him. 5:22-23. This is the sixth and last woe. Here are people have become so sodden, they have lost their sense of justice. Injustice and crookedness prevail in righteous, and the righteous man is falsely accused. That's what I was just talking about, calling wrong right and right wrong, calling sweet bitter and bittersweet. Now, no nation can long survive, which drops so low in morals that it loses its sense of value. Ours is the day, is a day when people are saying that wrong is right and right is wrong. In my younger days, I was a little younger, and I remember memorizing a line from a book, and it wasn't right. And wrong is right from the moment it happened when I started messing in that book. It wasn't no good book. You know, I was reading magazines, and they weren't good. I'll just say that. Because you people don't know how they cause sin to come on their life. You reading all these, you know, books where they dating books where couples, and my mother, I used to sneak them in the house, and she didn't know I was reading them. And they were wrong. And me and the girls at school, they will switch books and all that kind of stuff. They were wrong. And I was in sin. And I could never let my mother know. Never let my mother know. But it was bringing, reaping havoc in my life, because then I wanted me a boyfriend. Then I wanted to date and all this kind of, we can't do that. So and all the angels in heaven working overtime cannot make a difference or by less by hair. Wrong is still wrong. I don't care what nobody else say. If I'm wrong, I'm going to admit I'm wrong. I'm going to repent before God, because he's watching me. If I sit up all the time and think I'm righteous all the time, I'm full of pride all the time, God hates a prideful person, nothing will happen for me, and I'm going straight to hell in a handbasket. I'm not going to say he's going to send us to hell for everything we do, but we got to repent, or he will. You can say all day, I went to church. You don't care if you go to church. Did you repent? And we can, you know, you get up in the morning time when I pray, I repent. But, honey, I'll be praying the next, me repent the next 3 or 4 hours, because I've been to pick up the phone. Somebody probably been to made me mad. I had to repent again. Then I start looking at television. Repent again. You know, you can't sit up and hold all this stuff on you, because it opened doors for stuff to get on you. So we have to get that stuff off of us. I'm telling you, that was the last woe. But this is like court to Israel. All these things they was doing, they was indicted. It's already happened. They were indicted. God judged them. And he placed a judgment on Israel. And I'm not going into that part, but he placed a judgment on Israel. And they went into captivity. See, we have to be careful. We might not go into captivity now, but, you know, in these end times, a whole lot of things going to happen. You know, I mean, it's in the Word of God. So it's got to happen. It may not happen just like they say, but it's got to happen. I believe right today, I believe that it's going to be a famine in the land. I believe that we're going to have a food shortage, all of that. I believe that. God didn't tell me that part. I believe that because it's coming. And we got to be prepared. We got to get ready. We got to get prayed up. I'm telling you, God wants to He wants to show us things. But we need to be interceding for people. We need to be praying for our families. We need to ask God to keep them covered. We need to spread the blood, get you some oil, and put it on the doorpost of your house and ask God to cover your house. Cover. Let that death angel go over your house so it won't stop there. This is stuff we need to be doing, following the word of God. We're in the book of Revelations around about chapter 6 and 7. Go there and start from there. But every day you need to be praying, fasting. If you can, I try to fast every day. I don't care if it ain't but 5 or 6 hours. I try to pray every day. I don't care if it ain't nothing but an hour. I don't like to shortchange God. And, you know, but I have to. I you know, it's things I want to do, and if it don't fall right in order, then I get a little upset about it because I like to get up early and pray. But sometimes I can't. I have to pray around 9 or 10 if it don't feel right. Then I feel like I'm rushing, and I'm not. You know, to feel like I'm rushing and shortchanging God, then you have to have time to study. Put God first in my life. You should too. In everything you do, you should put God first. So all these woes, all these warnings, all these judgments, God judged Israel. And God took his hand off of Israel and let them be got captured, was living in captivity. We don't want to be like that. We don't want this one world order. We don't want martial law. But if we keep on living the way we live, God's going to take his hand off of us. And the good going to suffer with the bad. That's why I pray for everybody on this earth. I don't pray for just my family. I don't pray for just my city, my state. I pray for every man, woman, boys, and girls everywhere to repent. A clarion call everywhere, because that's what God is looking for. He's looking for us to repent. And I'm telling you, and if we don't, then we can look for what's coming. We can look for what's coming. And we don't have nothing else to say about it. Because God is a merciful God, and I know God loves us. I don't care what nobody say, and you should know it too. God loves us because he gave his only begotten son to die for all of us that don't even know he even exists, some of us. Don't even appreciate what he do. Don't never get up in the morning and say, Lord, don't do none of that. But God loved us, and he loved me before I even could love myself. He loved me. So he's protecting us today. All of this stuff going around and about, everybody still got their life. That's on this radio broadcast. Everybody still listening? And nobody but God did that. Nobody protected you but God, because you can't protect yourself from this. If God wanted to let his hand up, it would come right on you. But I thank God on today that he kept us and he's keeping us. And we should pay attention to these woes. When I preached about when God said no, I kept reading and reading and reading. I said, I'm going to talk about this. Drinking, we smoking drugs and doing crack, and they done made drugs legal now. We can just smoke them whenever we want to. We even forgot about cigarettes. We smoking drugs, and they can't do nothing about it. He ain't told us to do that. He didn't tell us to do that. We're going too far with God. I'm telling you, we're going too far, and he's gonna place some heavy judgment on us if we don't get it right. And it's so sad that the ones that's trying to get it right, the one that's trying to live a holy life, a set apart life, and for God, that we're gonna get it right with the other one. We're gonna get it. So we just, you know. All I can say is we need to pray and pray for the people of God. Pray for me, everybody. I pray for them over the earth. I don't have a region. That's my region, all over the earth. I pray for those that don't even know how to even accept God. I pray for them. Pray for those that don't even want me to pray for them. I pray for them anyway. I don't care. Stay prejudiced. I'm still going to pray for you. Because when God gets through with you, you won't be prejudiced no more. You know, so I just thank and praise God on tonight. This has been good for me because I've been studying and eating on it all day. You know, I've been kind of studying and eating it all day long because it's so interesting to me because instead of me saying, preaching God, when God say no, I was going to preach sour grapes at first, but I say another time in another place. God gave me where he says no because people want to know why their prayers and stuff not being answered. Sometimes God will say no. He'll say no to a prayer that you asking this. He say no because he can see further down. Like I said Sunday, you could be asking him for a Cadillac because that lady over there got a Mercedes. And you going to go get you a Cadillac, and God say no. He make your credit, turn down your credit. And you saying, Lord, I just want to. And he know your motives. He know your purpose for wanting it. And then in 5 or 6 months, your job closed, and you got to give it back. And your credit really going to be bad. So God say no to us sometimes. He don't answer every prayer because he don't spoil us. He give us what we want a little bit, but he give us what we need all the time. So we got to appreciate God for who he is. Amen. So I thank and praise God on tonight for each and every one of y'all. I thank God for y'all just being on our radio broadcast. You didn't have to be. I know some of them at work, they can't say nothing, but it is all right because I know you're listening because I see you on here. So I thank and praise God. But we're going to come back here on Friday night at the same time for our prayer, praise, and prophecy hour. God have a word for his people. God always give me a word for the people of God. Every time I come on here, he give me a word for them. And we take prayer requests. If you want me to pray for whoever it is that you want me to pray for, I'll do that too. And keep them on my prayer list that I have that I pray for every day. Praise God. So we just want to know if anyone have anything to say before we get ready to close out.
Amen.
So like I said, it's been just a blessing. I just thank and praise God. I will go back and read over this again because I like to stay in my spirit, man, these judgments that God put on Israel. And I'm laughing, but he can put them on us too. So we're going to get ready to close out. And God bless you all for being on tonight. We thank and praise God on tonight. Father, we just thank you now, and we praise you right now, Lord. I ask you to cover everyone under the sound of my voice, Lord. Keep them covered. Cover their families, their homes, their cars, their jobs. Just keep them all covered. Cover everybody all over the earth in the blood of Jesus. Encamp your angels all around about us, Lord, to protect us from all hurt, harm, or danger. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. God bless you all. Thank you for coming on the radio broadcast. We'll see you on Friday night, same time. God bless you. Have a good night.